On behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and most merciful, compassionate Savior of our lives, on His behalf we welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple on this most blessed of all days, Sri Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada invited devotees from all over the world to assemble together in His presence in Sri Mayapur Dham on this day. In fact, Srila Prabhupada established Navadvip Mayapur Dham as His international headquarters, which, when we consider, is quite extraordinary. Generally, when there is an international company or international movement, the international headquarters is in the most accessible central place: New York, Chicago, London, Bombay, something like that. Srila Prabhupada established over 100 centers in His manifested Leela. But there was no question, the international headquarters would be Sri Mayapur Dham, which is perhaps one of the most difficult, inaccessible places to get to. In those days, it was just a paddy field. There was no telephones. The only way to communicate with Mayapur was you had to go to Calcutta by train and then drive to Calcutta, or by bus or train. But Srila Prabhupada understood that this is not a movement that is based on any material consideration. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness will spread throughout the world if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleased, and if people understand the importance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift. And for this reason, the most difficult center in all of ISKCON to reach, in the most isolated, remote place where nothing in those days, nothing worked materially, Prabhupada made that the international headquarters, because it was from Sri Mayapur Dham that the Yuga Dharma, the Harinam Sankirtan movement, was established by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Himself, and by His will it was to spread through every town and village in this world. Srila Prabhupada had faith, not in telephones or computers, not in geographical accessibility. He had faith that the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda is all that is required for our success. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Srila Prabhupada explained, is none different than Krishna himself. Swayam Bhagavan, ete chang shakalak, ete chang shakalak, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. That there are many, many incarnations, like waves in the ocean. But Krishna is the fountainhead, the original source of all avatars. All other manifestations of the Lord are either portions or plenary portions or portions of plenary portions of Krishna. But Krishna manifests the six opulences to their fullest extent and has special intimate qualities that are not to be found in any other form of the Lord. God is one, but the Lord, by His inconceivable potencies, can expand Himself in unlimited forms to reciprocate with His unlimited devotees. And there are different types of avatars. There is the Purusha avatars that come for the purpose of creation of this material existence. There is the Guna avatars who take charge of the three modes of material nature. There is the Manvantaras who are in charge of human society and establishing laws from time to time. There is the Lila avatars, when the Lord descends to this world to attract the conditioned souls by His most beautiful pastimes. There is a Yuga avatars, the avatars that come for the purpose of establishing the recommended process of spirituality for the particular age. There's the Shaktivesh avatar, when the Lord empowers His own devotees with His own powers to establish His mission in this world. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains these avatars cannot be counted. Krishna's mercy is inconceivable and unlimited. And all avatars are appearing only to bestow mercy upon all the conditioned souls. Because Krishna's love is unlimited. Therefore, the various ways He reaches out to help us is unlimited. But only once, in a day of Brahma, does Krishna appear in His original supreme form of the son of Nanda Maharaj within this universe. The four yugas, all a full rotation of all of these four yugas is one Divya Yuga. 71 Divya Yugas equals one Manvantara. 14 Manvantaras equals one day of Brahma. A day and a night of Brahma, but a day is 4,320,000,000 years. So a day and night of Brahma is over almost 9 billion years. Krishna only appears once in that day of Brahma in His original, supreme, intimate form of Sri Vrindavan Chandra. He appears during the seventh Manu, Vaivashvatu, in the 28th Divya Yuga, at the very end of the Dwapar Yuga. And in that one day of Brahma, after Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. How rare. Considering this vast extent of time that we are speaking on, Srila Prabhupada, when he would talk about Lord Chaitanya, he said very recently Lord Chaitanya came. Considering he only comes about every 9 billion years, 500 years ago is very recent. Now, by our ant-like perception of time, ant, I'm speaking about the insect that crawls, it seems like a long time. 500 years ago, Columbus just recently discovered America. There was no United States of America 500 years ago. Huh? It was just fields. Modern history is 500 years is considered very, very ancient. But for Srila Prabhupada, who was seeing everything in view of eternity, it was just recently. But how much we should take advantage of this opportunity that we have. Where the parampara of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still so fresh, still so vibrant. And who is Lord Chaitanya? Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratveshe Namaha. He is the most munificent, magnanimous of all incarnations of God. In fact, Rupa Goswami, he claims that Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful than Krishna. How is that possible? It's not a matter of competition because Lord Chaitanya and Krishna are the same person. Because Krishna manifested his Madhurya Lila, the sweetest of all pastimes in Vrindavan. But only one who followed his instructions in Bhagavad Gita and completely surrendered to him could have any access or approach to that Madhurya Lila or the sweet Braj Ras of Braj. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Lila was Audarya Lila. That same exact sweet pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke open all the barriers, all the locks, and all the security devices that kept us away from that Leela and made it available for everyone or anyone. For the simplest cost, to just have faith in the holy name and chant with sincerity. Srila Prabhupada explained that the teachings of Krishna and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are identical. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this age of Kali to make the teachings of Krishna very practical. If we want to know and understand Krishna in truth, Krishna tells in Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yishami Masacha. We must abandon all varieties of Dharma. And Krishna says, and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Krishna's supreme mercy. Why? Why did he say, I shall protect you? Because Kshirodakshayi Vishnu is already protecting the whole universe. He's the maintainer and protector of everything within this universal creation. But when Krishna promises in Gita, I shall protect you, that means Krishna, in his original form, will personally protect you as his devotee. That is his promise. That is extraordinary. But what does it mean to surrender? Rupa Goswami explains there are 6 stages of surrender. We must accept what is favorable for devotional service. Then we must reject those things that are unfavorable for devotional service. And a devotee should have firm belief that Krishna will always protect his devotee in all circumstances. And the next stage is a devotee feels exclusively dependent on the mercy of Krishna. Does not require anything or anyone else except those personalities who are giving us the mercy of Krishna. And a devotee has no separate interest from the interest of Krishna. And the final stage of this 6 symptoms of surrender is a devotee always feels him or herself meek and humble. Where we find these qualities, we understand there is surrender. Just doing what you're told is a crude and necessary step of surrender. But what Sri Rupa Goswami is describing as our surrender gets deeper, our relationship with Krishna becomes more and more internalized. And our actions, our words, and our thoughts as well, spring from that deep internal spirit of surrendering to Krishna with faith, with dependence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to teach us this path of surrender. In the 9th as well as 18th chapter of Gita, Krishna explains very clearly what the essence of surrender is about. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. And Krishna gives his promise. But in this age of Kali, even philosophers, even sadhus in the robes of spiritual teachers misguide human civilization. What does it mean, always think of me? What does it mean to surrender? Some say that I am God, so you should surrender to me. Others say that everyone is God and everything is God, so you just surrender to whatever you want to do. And others say that ultimately God is impersonal, unmanifested, formless, without qualities. Surrender to that, not to him, but to that. But the sun is the source of the sunshine. If we want to reach the source of the sunshine, we must understand this essential principle. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdete. The absolute truth has three eternal features that are simultaneously existing. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Krishna is the source of everything. The rays of the body of Lord Krishna is what the composition of the Brahmajyoti is. And the plenary expansion of Krishna within the heart of every living being is the Paramatma. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to teach practically how to achieve the ultimate perfection of life. Lord Chaitanya explained in his teachings that Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, is the ultimate supreme object of worship. He was not sectarian. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted all the bona fide religions, and he encouraged people to follow their particular religion. And he accepted devotion to all the various forms of the Lord that have manifested in this world in our incarnations. But so many avatars attracted us in that way. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special feature coming once in a day of Brahma was to very clearly emphasize the highest revelation of the Absolute Truth. And who was that? Sri Nandanandana Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is none different than Krishna. Because Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, his paraphernalia, and his holy dhamma are none different than him, because they are expansions of his own supreme spiritual energy. Lord Chaitanya taught that the highest form of worship in all material and spiritual worlds is the mood of the gopis. Nothing can be compared. Because the nature of the gopis' love was there was no motivation whatsoever for either material or spiritual gain. Even in the spiritual world, people have motivation for spiritual gain. In fact, all of us, if we are not motivated for spiritual gain, how will we make progress? But the gopis, they are so far beyond even that level of consciousness. Their exclusive desire for all of eternity is only Krishna's pleasure. They're willing to go to hell forever if it gives Krishna even one moment of pleasure. Mahaprabhu revealed to the world there is no higher state of consciousness than the gopis' love. And Lord Chaitanya taught that of all the scriptures in the world, that scripture which so purely manifests this perfection is Srimad Bhagavatam. He called it Amalam Puranam, the spotless Purana. From beginning to end, Dharma Prochita Kaitavatra, from the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all sub-religious principles. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna warns us, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjana. that the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. Every scripture in the world, the greatest emphasis is on either improving your materialistic existence or coming to some stage of spirituality. But Krishna tells Arjuna, give up all of these things and just surrender to me. Fix yourself. Fix your consciousness on the eternal soul. So Srimad Bhagavatam begins from this platform of pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service and culminates in the gopi's love for Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that the highest perfection in human society is prema bhakti, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to Krishna. In the yoga system, the basis is to control the mind. If you cannot control the mind, you cannot control the other senses. According to the dictations of the mind, we are creating our own destiny, either in the clutches of the three modes of material nature or going back home, back to Godhead. Yoga means simply that, how to control the mind. Gita concludes the Astanga Yoga system with Yogi Namapi Sarvesham Madgatenantaratmana. That of all yogis, that person is most perfect who completely abides in me with faith and devotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this. The simplest and most powerful way of controlling the mind is to engage it always in Krishna's service. The mind is attached to the senses. Use the senses in Krishna's service. Through chanting, through dancing, through performing our duties for Krishna, by remembering Krishna, we can attain the perfection of samadhi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established a philosophy that synthesized, incorporated, and fulfilled the purpose of every other philosophy within the Vedic literatures. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. To understand that Krishna and the living entity are inconceivably simultaneously one and different. The oneness is in quality, that we are Satchidananda, we are part and parcel of Krishna himself. And the difference is in quantity. Krishna is Vibhu, he is supreme, he is infinite. We are Anu, infinitesimal. What an incredible word. What can humble us more than this word? We are infinitesimal. That means we are infinitely small. Krishna is infinitely big, and we are infinitely small. If we can simply identify ourselves with that word that Prabhupada has translated it so perfectly, we'll be more humble than a blade of grass always, because we are infinitesimal. A blade of grass is quite big. A blade of grass is quite significant compared to someone who is infinitesimal, infinitely minute. Hare Krishna. And the more we realize the soul in surrender, that is the sixth symptom of surrender, to always feel oneself very meek and humble. Achintya-bheda-bheda-tattva. A philosophy that answers all questions without having to resort to sectarianism, fanaticism, or blind faith. Achintya-bheda-bheda-tattva can answer all questions in a very holistic, realistic, and practical way. And Mahaprabhu has revealed this philosophy to the world. And the realization is very simple. Through the practicing of Nam Sankirtan. Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarvashaktis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that Krishna is none different than His name. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. The name of God is Krishna in sound vibration, with all of His opulences. And there are no hard and fast rules for chanting Krishna's names. In the age of Kali, we are so physically contaminated and weak and mentally crippled. Any process with hard and fast rules, we're going to fail. Yes? You all have that experience. There are rules that we must follow. But in the chanting of the holy names, there is no hard and fast rules. We can chant anywhere, at any time. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or woman, young or old, rich or poor, healthy or sick, whether you're a high caste or an outcast. These things are all irrelevant. Anyone can chant the holy names and be free from the sufferings of material existence and attain Krishna's love. But Lord Chaitanya explained there are three stages of chanting the holy names. First, there is the offensive stage, where we still have material motivations. We're chanting the holy names, but because we have these material desires, and we're trying to fulfill our material desires still, we naturally commit offenses. The second is the clearing stage, when a person actually approaches spiritual master and the assembly of Vaishnavas, takes vows of dedication, and that devotee earnestly, honestly, and sincerely is motivated for pure unalloyed devotional service and is chanting the holy names for that purpose. Haridas Thakur was very strong on this point. He said, the goal of chanting Hare Krishna is nothing material. That is not the real benediction that one can get. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this chanting of Nam Kirtan is the prime benediction for humanity at large. But what is that benediction? It doesn't mean a long life or a healthy life. It doesn't mean wealthy or successful. These things are all temporary and have very little to do with the soul. It doesn't mean elevation to higher planets where we can be great controllers. Some religions of this world, that's the goal, to become a Lord Brahma. Where you get your own universe and you can control it like anything. And in America, that religion is the fastest growing religion. Hare Krishna. That's a very devout person was just here in Bombay, and he told me, this is the goal, to have your own planet, your own universe, and control it all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, that's Haridas Thakur told, this is not the real blessing of chanting Hare Krishna. And even mukti, what yogis for thousands of years. Thousands of births they're performing tapasya to get mukti. And jnanis, they're spending lifetime after lifetime after lifetime just neti, giving up all the enjoyments of this world, somehow or other, scrutinizingly studying and discriminating to try to achieve mukti. Haridas Thakur said, mukti in its realized state is only an insignificant byproduct of the real blessing, which is love for Krishna. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatira, Anyata. Brihad Naradiya Purana proclaims that to attain that state in this age of Kali, there's only one way: the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. It's a process that's accessible and practical for everyone, and it is the most powerful. It's simple. Srila Prabhupada said, spiritual life is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. Some people say that this chanting and dancing is for the sentimental common people. But if you really want to make genuine advancement in the higher realms of spirituality, you must scrutinizingly study Vedanta. You must become a scholar of this philosophy. You must become very, very austere and strict. But for common people, the Lord is so kind just to give them some religious principle. Just chant and dance and do all of these things. Even children can do that. They criticize Nam Kirtan, that children can't do what we're doing. But children could do this chanting. But indirectly, they're praising. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna are so merciful. They're giving the highest thing in the simplest way. But there's no other way to attain that pure love, to awaken the essence of the soul's desires in this age, except through the simple, practical method of Harinam Sankirtan. Therefore, Krishna, who spoke Bhagavad Gita, who revealed his divine pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, he personally appears in the age of Kali Yuga as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Lord, who is the essence of all avatars, appears in the role of his own devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to this world to fulfill three external and three internal reasons. We know the external reasons. He came to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanama dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. Whenever there is a rise in irreligion and a decline in religion, at that time I descend myself into this world. To reestablish the principles of religion, to protect the innocent and annihilate the wicked. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to fulfill that promise. And he also came to establish the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names, and to respond to the loving prayers of Sri Advaitacharya. Sri Advaitacharya spent years of his life practically constantly weeping and crying, loudly crying out for Krishna to appear in this world. Why? Because of his love for you and me. Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Mukunda Das, all these devotees, they were in the perfect state. In their satsang of Vaishnavas, they were doing Nam Sankirtan and Prem Sankirtan. They were experiencing the ecstatic love of the spiritual world together. But Advaitacharya and the Vaishnavas, their compassionate nature is they could not tolerate enjoying Krishna while everyone else in this world is suffering without Krishna. They did not simply consider the suffering of people who were poor or diseased or dying, but they had equal compassion for those who were wealthy, healthy, and progressing in every way according to their material ambitions. Because without Krishna, the soul is suffering. A spiritual person sees the soul in others, not just the mind and body. Philanthropists, they cannot tolerate seeing the suffering of the mind and body of another, and they want to help by giving material and mental relief, which is good. That is a human quality, the mode of goodness. But those who are transcendentalists, they are concerned with the body and mind of others. They don't like to see that suffering. But essentially, they are focused on the soul, the real self. Even the wealthiest, most sensually successful people in this world, their souls are starving and suffering. And Advaitacharya saw that. And he was crying that myself, no other incarnation, and no one else in this planet can help these people. Krishna, only if you personally descend from Goloka Vrindavan can you give the real gift of love of God to these people. And he was crying and crying and crying for us. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on many occasions, he said, I have come to this world simply because of Advaitacharya's love for all living beings. But beyond that, Kaviraj Goswami describes the three internal reasons Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends into this world. Krishna observes the love of Sri Radha. Srimati Radharani is the Ashraya Vigraha. She is the abode of all love. And Krishna is the Vishaya Vigraha. He is the object of all love. Ultimately, you can only love one person, Krishna. If it's indirect due to ignorance, we suffer. But really, we're only loving Krishna without knowing it. Because everything is expanded from Krishna. If you love your husband, your wife, or somebody else's husband and wife, or something else, whatever it is in Kali Yuga, whatever that object, why do you love that person? Because there's a spirit soul within the heart of that person. No one loves the dead body. We love Krishna, because that living entity is an infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna, who has attractive qualities like Krishna, we're attracted. Any love for any person is actually just love for Krishna. And even anything, if you love your iPod, or you love your computer, or you love your house, or you love your clothes, or you love your furniture, or you love anything else like that, Why do you love it? Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. Krishna tells in Gita, everything in all material and spiritual worlds are emanating from me. Even the dead objects that we try to love in this world, they're all Krishna's energy coming from Krishna. And the only reason they have any attraction is because they're coming from Krishna. So everyone is simply loving Krishna. So why is everyone suffering? Because we have forgotten who Krishna is. All suffering is due to ignorance. When you realize the source of everything and repose your love in that, Krishna, then the perfection of love is realized. Srimati Radharani is the ultimate abode of all love. She is Krishna's Fladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. And Krishna is the ultimate object of everyone's love. Without Srimati Radharani's grace, we have no power to love. And without Krishna's grace, we have nothing to love. We are completely dependent on Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And to give credit where credit is due is honorable. But this world in Kali Yuga is a very dishonorable place. Love is so powerful. Even a devotee's love conquers Krishna. This is the greatest of all the secrets of the Vedas. Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. Even a little part and parcel of Krishna like ourselves. Prabhupada said, not only the impersonalists want to be God, but you can conquer God. You can be better than God in the sense that conquer him by your love. Of course, we have to be totally meek and humble. When we have those qualities, Krishna is conquered by that love. And Srimati Radharani is the ultimate supreme abode of all love. Whatever love we have is part and parcel of her love. So how Srimati Radharani eternally conquers Krishna through her love. So Lord Krishna wanted to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love. And he wanted to understand the wonderful qualities of himself that she alone relishes through her love. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives example. Krishna was in, he was looking at a pillar, a jeweled pillar, and he saw a reflection of himself, and he wanted to embrace the pillar. He was so unbelievably attracted to his own threefold bending beautiful form. And he realized, what is it that Srimati Radharani experiences when she observes my wonderful qualities? That was a mystery he could not even understand. And what is it? What is it that Radharani feels? The happiness that she experiences when she realizes the sweetness of his love. To answer these three questions, Krishna appears within this age of Kali with the sentiments of love and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. When Lord Krishna made this decision, he said, I will come to the world to experience the ecstasies of Radha's love. At the time of the Yuga Avatar will simply be a part and parcel, will simply be an amsa of myself. In fact, when I descend into this world, all the incarnations, all the forms of the Lord in all material and spiritual worlds will be within me. I will manifest the potencies and the divine qualities of all the various avatars and forms of the Absolute Truth. They will all be within me. And I will come to reveal the highest love of Srimati Radharani, and I will distribute that love through the congregational chanting of the holy name. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, Lord Chaitanya is Radha in Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami explains, the Absolute Truth is one, but for the sake of eternal, intimate, loving pastimes, they have divided into two forms of Radha and Krishna. And now those two forms have again become one as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna with the ecstatic love and complexion of Srimati Radharani. And he has come to give what no other avatar has done, to give direct access to the conjugal loving affairs of Vrindavan, to everyone and anyone in this world. But Lord Chaitanya appeared in the role of his own devotee to teach us by practical example. Because after all, Krishna already told us in Bhagavad Gita, Vedavyasa have already explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. But why no one can follow? There is a need for practical example. Srila Prabhupada explains it very nicely. He says a teacher is writing on the chalkboard, this is how you make A, and this is how you make B, and going through all the various tedious little exercises. Now, the teacher doesn't have to go through those exercises, but she goes through all the exercises just to teach us how to do it. If she just said, make a diagonal line one way, and then make another diagonal line another way, then make a straight line across, that's A. Everyone would be going like this, and everyone would have different versions of A. Yeah, so that's what we have today. The scriptures tell us everything, but everyone has a different version of the scripture. But when the teacher comes and says, this is how you do it, diagonal, diagonal, like that, everyone says, oh, teacher, you are very good. So she's going through all the lessons, like a student, to teach the student. So Lord Chaitanya came in the role of a devotee to teach by his practical example. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did this for several reasons. One is to teach us practically, without speculation. If actually we study Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, if we read Shikshastakam nicely, everything is so simple, everything is so clear. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, they studied Vedanta and they had such intensely complicated and erudite understandings of each verse. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained it in such simple and direct ways, they were baffled. It all made so much sense. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained Vedanta to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 7 days. And so, all day, every day. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a few minutes, explained everything perfectly clear. And Sarvabhauma, what? It's so easy to understand. Why, I never knew. Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so kind, so merciful. He has taken the most complex subject and made it so simple. Even a child can understand. That is his power. And also, in this age of Kali, the Lord who knows past, present, and future understood so many people will claim to be God because they have some mystic powers or because they have tremendous knowledge or perhaps because they have very, very powerful charisma over others. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish no one can become God. God is God. We are all His eternal servants. If anyone ever indicated that he was Bhagavan, he would hold his ears and scream out, "Vishnu, Vishnu, protect me from this great, great danger." We are all eternally servants of the Lord. No one has ever been, is, or will ever be God. But we can become godly and love God. That is perfection. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did not want to disturb the intimate love between him and his devotees. In so many ways, especially in his childhood lila, how all the Vaishnavas loved him so much and they were just praying and praying and weeping and crying and begging Krishna, "Please make Nimai a devotee." He was putting them in ecstatic experiences. He concealed the reality that he was the Supreme. Prahlad Maharaj and Srimad Bhagavatam described him as Channa avatar, the hidden avatar. In Vrindavan, when some very learned Brahmins met with Lord Chaitanya at Kruraghat, they explained how this rumor going all around Vrindavan that Krishna has descended and he's dancing on Kaliya every night at the Kaliya lake. We looked into it. It's just a fisherman on a raft with a lantern. And everyone's thinking Krishna is dancing, the raft is Kaliya, and the lantern is his jewels on his head. But then they said that actually Krishna has come to this world. Because you are a sannyasi. Om Namo Narayana. Sannyasis generally address themselves in this way. Namo Narayana. I offer obeisances to you, Narayan. And what does the sannyasi say to the other sannyasi? Namo Narayana. I offer obeisances to you, Narayan. I'm offering obeisances to you and I'm honoring you because I am you. You are great because you are me. You are an object of worship because you are me. Hariro. So they explain, Lord Chaitanya, you are sannyasi. You are Narayan. Narayan has come. And Mahaprabhu, not. Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. He explained, Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. that the living entity is the infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna. He's never Krishna. We are always subordinate to Krishna. We're eternally the servants of Krishna. And they listened, and they were convinced. But Lord Chaitanya convinced them so much that they understood nobody in the whole existence could convince us that we're eternal servants of Krishna except Krishna. So we understand what you're saying is true. We are eternal servants of Krishna, but you are Krishna. Just like you can take musk and cover it with a cloth, but still everyone will know that behind that cloth is the fragrance of musk. In the same way, although you are covered with this beautiful golden complexion, we can understand that you are the beautiful monsoon rain cloud complexion son of Nanda Maharaj. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his opulences of Krishna to them. Today we are very, very fortunate. We have with us one of the world's greatest authorities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and teachings, His Holiness Barsana Swami Maharaj. We were in Udupi together, and I requested Maharaj to attend our Gaur Purnima festival. And he made an outline and a subject that we are going to speak on together. Today will be the most organized class that Radha Gopinath Temple has ever heard with me involved. Because all other speakers here are very highly organized. Radha Gopinath, Gaur Gopal Prabhus, Gauranga Prabhu, Govinda Prabhu, very highly educated, organized people, Shamananda Prabhu, Rohini Priya Prabhu, they're scholarly people, they just, everything is systematic and everything is very comprehensive and everything flows just perfectly according to the current of their love and devotion. But I'm kind of like an uncoordinated, unqualified person. I just kind of speak. But by Barsana Maharaj's mercy, he's bridling me into an outline. And we're going to speak on the subject he has chosen, and he has allotted each of us certain particular incidents to speak on to support this subject. And the subject of today's class, by the mercy of His Holiness Barsana Maharaj, is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme source of all avatars, and how in His pastimes, in this world, He manifested the qualities, the potencies, and the forms of all the greatest of the avatars. And I'm sorry I've spoken so much, but you have to fast till moonrise. So there simply is nothing else to do today. So I don't feel so guilty. Now we will request His Holiness Barsana Swami Maharaj to illuminate our hearts. Thank you very much.
Actually, Maharaj was just speaking about myself when he was talking about being disorganized, and it was he is the one who insisted on having some kind of format and outline to follow, which for me is practically impossible, but we'll make some attempt. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the avatari, embodies the function of all the avatars. While at the same time, he is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, wanting to understand the nature of her love. It is the nature of Srimati Radharani to want to give Krishna to others, and therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, was revealing various forms of Krishna to various devotees according to their particular mood of love. When the Lord took birth, Nilambar Chakravarti began to contemplate the Lord's horoscope. He found all the symptoms of a great Mahapurusha in that calculation. But at the same time, there was an unnamed, mysterious Brahmana at the house of Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra, who also calculated the horoscope and revealed things that Jagannath Mishra did not explain. That Brahman explained that this child is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan. He has come to this world to establish the essence of all religion. He himself will be the greatest preacher of that religion, and he will deliver the whole world. He will bestow upon this world that greatest treasure for which Brahma and Shiva and Shukadev, Goswami, and Narada Muni yearn, but cannot attain without his mercy. The world will become blissful and renounced and merciful by his influence. And even the Yavanas, the declared enemies of Vishnu, will worship his lotus feet. The countless universes will sing his glories, and he will be Bhagavat Dharma personified. That was the first revelation of the nature of the child being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the wonderful nature of Yoga Maya is that according to the Lord's desire, she sometimes conceals and sometimes reveals his identity. When the devotees heard the calculations of the mystery Brahmana, they became reverential. And when the reverence of the devotees limits their spontaneous love for him as a child, he again conceals the revelation which has just been bestowed, and they forget his divine nature and once again feel love for him as a child. Shortly, well, not shortly, but in his childhood, there is many pastimes, continuous pastimes, revealing his divine nature. Jagannath Mishra asked Nimai to get a book from the other room, and Nimai ran out. And they heard the jingling of ankle bells, just in rhythm to his movements. And when the Lord came back and delivered the book and again ran out, they heard the same thing, Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi. But the child was not wearing ankle bells. And then when he looked upon the floor, they saw where his foot, where his feet had touched the floor. There was footprints marked with the symbols of Vishnu. And they did not make the connection. They thought that their Damodar Shila must be playing in the house, revealing his pastimes. And they, Jagannath Misha told Mother Sachi to prepare special offerings for Damodar Shila, who is enjoying pastimes in our house. And Nimai was listening to this conversation and simply laughing. Then the pilgrim Brahman came to the house of Jagannath Misha, a very saintly devotee who worshipped the holy name of Gopal. He would just wander wherever his heart took him, and he was always chanting the holy name of Gopal. And whatever he obtained by begging or by foraging in the forest, he would offer to Gopal in great love and devotion. And he came to the house of Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi. And they were very honored to have such a saintly soul in their presence. And they offered to serve him prasadam. But he did not eat anything that was offered to his Gopal. So they requested him to cook. And they provided him all the paraphernalia. And he cooked an offering of rice for his Gopal. And as he was chanting the name of Gopal to come and accept his offering, his meditation broke by the vision of Nimai taking his offering and eating it before his very eyes. Just a very young child, Nimai. And the Brahmin cried out in great distress, Hi, this child has spoiled my offering. Jagannath Misha, Mother Sachi came running. Jagannath Misha was furious. He took a stick and started chasing Nimai, who ran in fear and hid. And Jagannath Misha was devastated that such a calamity could transpire in his house to in the presence of such a guest. So he pleaded with him, "We'll take Nimai to another house. Please, cook your offering again." But the Brahmin was very detached. He said, I seldom eat cooked rice. I usually eat fruits and roots and herbs and whatever I find in the forest. It is clear that by destiny, Gopal does not want me to eat today. So just whatever is available in the house, fruits, roots, and herbs, please give me." And Jagannath Misha said, "It would be a great offense on behalf of our family if you could not eat a suitable meal." So they pleaded with him to cook again, and they finally convinced him. Nimai was in the neighbor's house, being watched by the ladies who were entertaining him. But when the Brahmin finished his second offering, or he was making his second offering, Nimai somehow bewildered the ladies and they lost track. You know, he was revealing himself here and there, and then he just disappeared. And the nature of Yoga Maya, and you see it in Vrindavan also, the Vrijavasis lose track of when Krishna is in Vrindavan and when he's in Dwarka. Because his bhava expansion is so convincing. But they actually lose track of when he's in Vrindavan and when he's in Dwarka. And in a similar way, they lost track that Nimai escaped their vigilance, returned just as the Brahmin was making the second offering, and began to eat it right before his eyes. And the Brahmin's meditation broke, and he saw the Lord. He didn't know he was the Lord yet. He saw Nimai again eating his offering, and he cried out in great grief, Hi, this child has spoiled my offering again. Jagannath Misha came running with the stick. Nimai fled, hid himself inside a room. And then the Brahmin was convinced, it is not the will of destiny that I should eat cooked food today. Just bring whatever fruits and roots are available easily, and that will suffice. And Jagannath Mishra could not convince him a second time to cook again. And then Vishwaroop appeared on the scene, who is considered to be an expansion of Lord Nityananda. But Vrindavan Das Thakur speaks about him and writes about him synonymously with Lord Nityananda, as if there's absolutely no difference. And the appearance of Vishwaroop before the pilgrim Brahmin was such a revelation. His qualities were so divine. He was so humble, so gentle, so effulgent, so attractive, that the pilgrim Brahmin asked, "Whose son is this?" He said, "I'm the son of Jagannath Mishra." The Brahmin congratulated Jagannath Mishra for having such a fine son. And Vishwaroop began to plead with the Brahmin in words that were sweeter than nectar and irresistible. He said, "It is such a great fortune to have such a saintly guest as you in our home today. And such saintly souls live only for the welfare of others, and they're concerned only with the welfare of others. And if you do not eat as a guest in our house, our family will be condemned for inhospitality. So great souls feel only the distress of others. They're para dukkha dukkhi. And they're concerned only with the welfare of others. So please..." He clasped the lotus feet of that Brahma and begged him, "Please cook one more time." And Vishwaroop's plea was irresistible. So the Brahman agreed. He cooked a third time. Nimai was hiding in his room. The ladies were watching him from inside. Jagannath Mishra bolted the doors from outside and kept very strict vigilance with his stick. And as the Brahmin was cooking, and he again, for the third time, made his offering, chanting the name of Gopal, Nimai was thinking, he was so attracted to the Brahmin's love and devotion, who was calling him by name, the Lord thought, "I will reveal myself to him." And then the Lord summoned his yoga nidra, who put everyone in the house into deep slumber. And it was also late at night by this time. And when the Brahmin was the only one awake in the house other than Nimai, and he was making his third offering, his meditation was broken again, as the infant child, completely naked, very playfully began to eat his rice. And he cried out, "Hi, hi," again, but there was no one awake to hear him except Nimai, who addressed him very personally. "My dear Brahmin, what is the problem, and why are you so distressed? You keep calling me by name, and I cannot resist your call, and every time I appear, you cry out in great distress." And then, before the Brahmin's very eyes, Nimai revealed to him everything upon which he had ever meditated in his samadhi. The Lord appeared in his beautiful, charming eight-armed form, holding conch, disc, club, lotus. In two hands he was playing a flute, and with one hand he was holding a pot of butter, which he was eating with the other. And behind the form of Nimai appeared a splendid kadamba tree filled with varieties of birds. And then
the vast pastoral landscape of Brudge manifests right before his eyes, with cowherd boys and gopis and cows grazing. Everything upon which he had ever meditated appeared right before his eyes. And the Lord spoke to him that I have descended in this form to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, and I will take that movement to every town, every village, every home, every country of the world to benedict the world with that very prema bhakti for which the demigods yearn but cannot obtain. I will bestow that gift indiscriminately to everyone by the simple and sublime process of chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But don't tell anybody, the Lord told him. If you tell what you have seen, your life will be ruined. So then he began calling out in great ecstasy, Hey Gopal, Hey Gopal, and his crying out woke everyone in the house, and they came running to see him dancing in great ecstasy. His first impulse was to tell everyone what had just happened. But then he remembered the Lord's stern warning. And he just sat down and began to honor his prasadam. And everyone thought that he's very happy that finally he was able to eat. They did not realize the source of his great ecstasy, that the deity he worshipped was living in the house of Jagannath Mishra. And that pilgrim Brahmin, who all his life was simply wandering throughout the country according to the impulses of his heart, took up residence in Navadvip Dham and came to the house of Jagannath Mishra every day to see his beloved Ishtadev Gopal performing pastimes in the form of Sri Vishwambar Nimai. So now His Holiness Raghunath Swami will reveal to us how Vishwarup was able to detect the pastimes of his beloved brother Krishna in the mischief of Nimai.
When I speak, it's like a station break from the real nectar on your order, Maharaj. I will try. As Nimai grew older, he became the supreme reservoir of all mischief, because he was none different than Gopal. And he would perform the beautiful games of Gopal. In fact, Lochan Das Thakur tells that every game that has ever been played by children in all time, Nimai played those games. So mischievous. The Brahmins and the young girls would complain to Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra about some of the mischief that he would do. Nimai, for 6 hours every day, just harassed people in the river Ganges. When the Brahmins would be in there half-submerged, meditating on Brahman, Nimai would kick water right in their face. And if that wasn't enough, with his hands, he would just go psh, 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 and splash it. Destroy their meditation. At least that's what they thought. They opened their eyes and they saw the Supreme Brahman. That is Mahaprabhu's mercy. They were so much distracted by the effulgent light of Brahman that Lord Chaitanya startled them out of that meditation to see the Supreme Brahman. And sometimes they would be doing Gayatri Mantra and Lord Chaitanya would just swim underwater, grab their feet, and pull them under. And sometimes they were doing their bath very nicely according to Brahminical standards, and Nimai would just swim underwater and come right in front of them and spit Ganga water right in their face. Other times he would steal their Bhagavad Gita. Another time he would steal their Shivalingam. Some of them in the bank of the Ganges, they would be making an offering to Lord Vishnu, and he would sit on the throne of Vishnu and eat all the offerings. After taking their bath, they'd come out, and Nimai and his friends, they would throw sand all over their bodies, so they would have to go back and take another bath. Sometimes if they had their babies close by, while they were in the Ganges bathing, Nimai would pour water in the ears of the baby to make them cry. Very mischievous. Another Brahmin was bathing. Nimai jumped on his shoulders and cried out, "I am Shiva!" And then used his body like a diving board and jumped off into the Ganga. And the girls would be bathing on one side and the men would be bathing on the other side. And Nimai and his friends, while they were all immersed in doing their pujas and doing their offerings, he would take the saris and the, what do you call, cholis of the girls and put it on the men's side, and he would put the kopins of the men on the women's side. So when they came out of the water and they were all cold and ready to, women pick up these kopins. And then, nice colorful saris, they couldn't come out of the water. They were trapped. And how Nimai would harass the little girls, the ones of marriageable age. He would go right up and say, "You should marry me." "So what, marry you?" "There's a system. Even in our temple, there's a system. You don't just..." Boys just don't go up to girls and say, "Marry me." In the West, that's a common thing. "Will you marry me?" But here, there's a system. You go through the parents or the marriage board or whatever the system may be. "Will you marry me?" They say, "Get out of here. What are you doing, Nimai?" And they say, "If you marry me, you will be all blessed." And then he would go to take the offerings that they were offering to Vishnu for the sake of getting a good husband. He would just start eating it. And they'd complain. He'd say, "You give me your offerings. Otherwise, if you do not give me all the garlands, all the sandesh, all the chandan, everything you brought, if you do not give it to me, then I will curse you. That yes, you will get a husband. He will be old, diseased, and he will have four co-wives. But if you give me everything you have, then you will have a nice, young, handsome, caring husband, and you will have seven healthy, young, dynamic sons." Sometimes they'd come out of the Ganges and Lord Chaitanya, Nimai, he would take sticky okata seeds and throw it in their hair. In this way, Nimai was performing so much mischief. And all of these pranks was coming to the attention of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. And Vishwarup was listening. Vishwarup was watching. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains the mischievous pastimes of Lord Chaitanya as Nimai were so glorious that even if the Vedas had 10 million mouths, they could not properly glorify the good fortune of Sachidevi and Jagannath Mishra, who had Nimai as their own son. But Vishwaroop, although so many people were bewildered, some were complaining, Vishwaroop was the only person in all of Navadvip who clearly saw that what my little brother is doing is he is performing the self-same pastimes of Gopal in Vrindavan. But Vishwaroop was always with the devotees. He would spend a whole day at Sri Advaitacharya's house, just Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan, studying the scriptures. He was completely indifferent to anything of this world except hearing and chanting in the association of devotees and watching his little brother's Vrindavan pastimes and Navadvip. But his parents became very concerned. He's so detached from the world. It is time for him to marry. Vishwaroop, he understood that his parents were arranging a marriage for him. He could not tolerate seeing materialistic people in forgetfulness of Krishna. So one night, without saying anything to anyone, Vishwaroop left home and took sannyas. One may wonder, why would he want to take sannyas when he was in full realization that Nimai Pandit was Gopal, his worshipable deity, and he was performing leelas right in the same house with him? It can be answered in various ways. One, it was Lord Chaitanya's desire. Because Vishwaroop is an expansion of Lord Nityananda, or Balaram. And Balaram, his life, his soul, his everything is simply serving the wish of Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu always immersed in the service of Lord Chaitanya. Who is Nityananda Prabhu? He's the source of Ananta Shesha. He's the source of Kshira Dakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Bhakarabo Dakshai Vishnu. He's the Supreme Lord. He's the Absolute Truth, the controller of all controllers. But yet, always obedient in the service of Lord Chaitanya. And Vishwaroop was an expansion of Nityananda Prabhu. It was the Lord's wish that he take sannyas. And ultimately, like a puppet, he did so. Now, from the point of view of the brahmacharis, there's another perspective. Even though Nimai was performing his Vrindavan pastimes right in his own house, still, he'd rather leave than get married. Hare Krishna. And he took sannyas. He was very determined in a renounced order. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains another reason is because the people of Navadvip were so egoistic and so much infatuated by their high learning and their wealth and all of this, that they not only didn't care about Krishna consciousness, but they criticized, blasphemed, and condemned the devotees as being sentimentalists. He could not tolerate. This is the extent a devotee should feel pain to hear the criticism of Vaishnavas. So his taking sannyas was very instructive on many levels. When Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra received the news, they were devastated. They loved him more than their life. Please understand, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they had 8 daughters who all died immediately after birth. They were childless. Now, sometimes a lady has a miscarriage or a child dies when they're young. You know how heartbreaking and devastating that could be. Sachi Mata is the most motherly, loving person in all of existence. How much she loved her children. She bore these children in her womb for 9 months, and they beautiful, beautiful little girls. And they lived just long enough for there to be a relationship, and then they died. And finally, after worshiping Lord Vishnu with great devotion, they had a son that lived, and that was Vishwarupa. His Holiness Barsana Maharaj has already explained in the story of the pilgrim Brahman what were the qualities of Vishwarupa. When that Brahman saw him, his heart melted in ecstasy. Vishwarupa was an ocean of divine qualities. His kindness and love toward all living beings was all attractive. And he was young, hardly in his teenage years. And he left home and took sannyas. How can mother and father possibly tolerate this? Weeping and crying beside themselves, the neighbors all came together to try to pacify Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. And one of them quoted from the Shastra, that you are so fortunate, according to the Shastra, if someone in your family takes sannyas, then 10 million generations of ancestors get liberated and get Krishna bhakti. How fortunate you are! He has taken sannyas. But Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi were having a very difficult time, because a mother and father's love is something beyond philosophy sometimes. But little Nimai, he was the one who could pacify them. My brother has taken sannyas, but I will stay home and I will take care of you and I will always be with you. I am yours. And seeing the beautiful golden face of Nimai with his lotus-like eyes that extended almost to his ears, and his nose which was like a sesame flower, and his lips which were like fresh bimba fruits, and his face which was like the illuminating golden moon, their hearts melted. And family members held the hands of Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra and said, what do you have to be in pain about? You have Nimai as your son who's promised to stay with you at home. What greater benediction can there be in life? Somehow Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata were pacified. But as time passed, Nimai stopped doing all his mischief. Just because his brother had left, and Nimai himself was weeping and crying in separation from Vishwarupa, he became very sober and immersed himself in studying the Shastra. And he became so good at debate. People were coming to Jagannath Mishra's house and praising Nimai. He knows the scripture so well. He's such a young boy, but still, he's so learned. We have seen any point that anyone wants to debate him, he defeats them. And Sachi Mata, the mother, Oh, her heart was swelling with pride. Our son is becoming such a scholar. He's so absorbed and is getting such happiness to studying these books. Satchimata was in bliss. But fear took birth in the heart of Jagannath Mishra. In his mind came the thought that Vishwaroop was also learned in the scripture. And look what happened. Jagannath Mishra opposed Satchidevi and said, "Today we're laying down a law. From this day on, Nimai will study no books. Let him remain at home as an ignorant fool. Because my fear is, if he learns the scriptures, he will understand the difference between the soul and this material world. And he'll understand all the pleasures and the attachments of this world are maya or illusion. And just like his brother Vishwaroop, he will leave home and take sannyas. He's all we have. He's our life, our soul, our everything. If Nimai leaves home, we cannot live. We must keep him home. The only means of keeping him home is he must remain an ignorant fool. He must not understand the difference between maya and reality." Satchidevi, she said, "What are you saying? My husband, what are you saying? You want our son to be an ignorant fool? He enjoys his studies. How will he make a living? How will he earn for himself if he doesn't know anything? And who is going to marry their daughter to an ignorant, uneducated fool who can't make a living?" Jagannath Mishra turned to Satchidevi and said, "Oh, foolish daughter of a high qualified Brahmin, do you not understand that if Krishna wants, we have nothing to fear? Everything is written in a person's destiny. It is not a question of what one knows. It is not a question of what one can do. It's a question of destiny. Just look. I'm a learned man. I know all the scriptures. But we don't even have any rice in our house. We are so poor. But look over there. I can show you men who cannot even read or write a single letter of the alphabet. And they have thousands of pundits loitering around the courtyard of their house begging for charity. It is not a matter of what endeavor you make. It is not a matter of what you know. It is a matter of destiny. And for one who is Krishna's devotee, Krishna promises to take special care of him. And we are Krishna's devotees. And our Nimai is Krishna's devotee. Krishna will supply for him. If it is Krishna's will, Nimai will have a first-class wife and make lots of money and be successful in life. He doesn't have to learn anything. It is all in the hands of Krishna. We must have faith in Krishna. Therefore, because Krishna will take care of our son, let him remain home as an uneducated fool." And then he called Nimai and strongly proclaimed, "Nimai, from this day on, you will not open a single book. There will be no more studies. But you can do anything you want except study." So Nimai took that to heart. And he did anything he wanted except study. He and his friends became more mischievous than ever before. They would stay out all night, all day and all night. And Jagannath Mishra did not dare to try to discipline him because he was afraid if he did, Nimai would start studying again. Nimai and his friends would go out in the day and they'd see a banana plantation with very nicely growing banana trees. They marked it. Then in the middle of the night, two of his friends with Nimai, three children, would get under a big cloth that resembled a bull, a big white bull. It was a special costume. And the three of them would go into the plantation in this bull costume, and they'd knock down every tree. And the owner would come out and see this big bull just knocking out all the trees, and he'd cry out, "Hi, hi, hi," and they'd run away and laugh. Should I tell you something else they did?
No.
You have heard it before, but it's sweeter every time. They would tie all the windows and doors to the houses at night so no one could get out. Now, you know, in those days, no one would stoop so low to have a latrine in their house. It's like having a toilet in your kitchen. You just don't do that. To have a latrine in your house, they all went outside. That was the Brahminical way of doing things. But Nimai knew that, so he tied, locked the doors and the windows, and they'd watch. And when the people would have to respond to the call of nature, they couldn't get out. The call became a cry. The cry became a scream. The scream became a roar. And they were howling, "Let us out! Let us out!" How many of you have had this experience? And they were screaming and crying and jumping up and down, and I don't know what else they did. But they couldn't get out of the house. And Nimai and his friends would just be laughing. Ah! They'd run away. No matter how much mischief, even all night long, still Jagannath Mishra did not say a word. But one day, Jagannath Mishra went out of town. On this day, Lord Chaitanya manifested himself as Dattatreya. Who is Dattatreya? We read in Srimad Bhagavatam that Atri Muni, the husband of Anasuya, was performing tapasya. He wanted to have the darshan of the Lord. He wanted to have the Lord of his child. But he wasn't specific which Lord. Because he performed his tapasya so nicely, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, they all appeared before him. Which one are you calling? He didn't understand. He said, "You called because you wanted the Lord to be your son. Well, all three of us are there. Is that your blessing? Is that the benediction you want?" So all three became the sons. Maheshwar became the son of Anasuya and Atri Muni in the form of Durvas Muni. Brahma expanded himself as Soma, and Lord Vishnu became the son of Anasuya and Atri Muni in the form of Dattatreya. Dattatreya taught the philosophy of the oneness of the Absolute. Would you like to hear the story of why Lord Chaitanya became Dattatreya? Hari Hari. Should be like this. Everything is adjustable. One day, some of Nimai's friends came to Nimai's house, which is now the Yoga Pete. And they cried out to Sachi Devi, "Nimai, your son, do you know what he's doing?" "Sachi, what? What? What?" "Jagannath Mishra was out of town. Sachi Mata was alone. Do you know what your Nimai is doing? He's sitting on a filthy, dirty pile of used pots." Sachi Mata was shocked. "Why would my son do something like that?" She came running to the site, and there she saw these old clay cooking pots. And they were cooking on cow dung. So the bottom of the pot is all black. And the system, the standards in those days, you never use the same clay pot twice. You cook with it, it becomes all black in the bottom. You take the bhoga, you offer it to Krishna, you eat the prasad, and you cast the pot away. It's considered contaminated. So there was a whole pile where everyone was going and throwing their used pots. And on the top of that mountain of black pots, Nimai was sitting. Sachi Devi looked at him. It was so beautiful. His beautiful golden complexion had the smears of all these black soot and charcoal. He looked like a beautiful golden lotus flower with black bees swarming around him. Or he looked like a beautiful golden deity that was anointed with wonderful fragrant fragrant offerings, chandan and so forth. Sachi Mata, she was beside herself. "Nimai, you are the son of a Brahmin. You are the son of Jagannath Mishra. Do not you understand the difference between filthy, contaminated pots and cleanliness? How dare you? Your father will lose his reputation as a great Brahmin if people know that you are acting like this." And Nimai looked at Sachi Devi, smiling on the top of a pile of pots. And he said, "My dear mother, how can you expect me to know what is clean and what is dirty if you do not allow me to study books?" And then he entered into the mood of Dattatreya. And he said, "Besides that, anything I touch becomes supremely pure. Because everything is one. The real understanding of true knowledge is everything is one. Why should we see in terms of these dualities of clean and unclean and proper and improper? This is all the relative mundane way of thinking, but in the absolute plane, everything is one. And I, whatever I touch becomes pure. Even the most contaminated thing, if I simply touch it, it becomes supremely pure. Do you not understand this, my mother?" And Sachi Mata could not understand. He was speaking the wisdom of Dattatreya in the mood of Dattatreya. But Sachi Mata said, "Nimai, come down immediately and take your bath." And Nimai said, "I will not come down unless you allow me to study books." And then all the neighboring ladies who were gathered there, they said, "Nimai, don't come down. We are on your side. What nonsense your parents are doing not allowing you to study books. You stay up there." And then they turned to Sachi Mata and said, "Who is the enemy that has advised you to not allow your child to study? It is the greatest challenge in all of our lives to get our children to stop playing and study. And your child wants to study, and you don't want him to study. What kind of parents? What is this nonsense? He is right. If you don't allow him to study, he will remain ignorant. Nimai, we are on your side." And Sachibata was very much embarrassed. She climbed up the whole pile of pots. Obviously, she got all blackish, and she picked up Nimai, who was smiling very blissfully, and took him down and gave him bath with her own loving, motherly hands. Srimati Sachi Devi Ki Jai! When Jagannath Mishra returned that evening, Sachimata explained that our child is unhappy. Ultimately, the only thing Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata wanted was Nimai's happiness. Our child is unhappy. He wants to study. Then the relatives came and they spoke the same philosophy to Jagannath Mishra that he was speaking to Sachimata, but with a different conclusion. Would you like to hear? They said everything is written in a person's destiny. And ultimately, Krishna always protects his devotees. So therefore, why are you worried? Even if he does study and becomes a learned scholar, it's his destiny. He'll have a good wife, he'll have a prosperous, and he'll stay home! He'll stay home! Who is the enemy who has advised you? Let him study. Make him happy. Jagannath Mishra, with tears in his eyes, turned to all of his friends and relatives and said, Nimai is the son of all of you. Please give him your prayers and blessings. And then Jagannath Mishra inaugurated the studies of Nimai. And in this pastime that you are about to hear from His Holiness Barsana Swami Maharaj, Nimai is going to get the sacred thread and reveal his form of opulence of Sri Vamanadeva.
At this point, Jagannath Mishra accepted that his son is going to resume his studies. So Jagannath Mishra himself performed the Upanaya ceremony, initiating Nimai with the sacred thread, which was actually another form of Vishwarup, Shesh, encircling the Lord in the form of that thread. And just after his initiation, Nimai went out to beg alms with a cloth bag over his shoulder. He went out to beg. But when the Lord begs, he's begging for three things. And therefore, to reaffirm the three things that were established as far as what we have to sacrifice, as revealed in the case of Bali Maharaj, the whole pastime was repeated again. As little Nimai assumed and revealed himself in the form of Vamana, the dwarf Brahmana, with one footstep covers all the gross material creation, meaning that he wants that we give alms in the form of surrendering our gross material attachments. For the second step, he covers the entire subtle creation, meaning that he wants us to surrender all our subtle attachments. And his third footstep, which previously came upon the head of Bali Maharaj, indicates But he wants us to surrender something which is beyond the gross and subtle creation, which is our own eternal soul, to be surrendered to his service. So, this pastime of Vamana with Bali Maharaj was reenacted for the welfare of the world. And everyone gave alms. Even the demigods and goddesses were coming down to give alms and participate in the reenactment of Vamana Lila. About this time, the Lord would go begging to the different shopkeepers in Navadvipa. He would go to the cloth merchant and ask to see his finest cloth. And he would dress himself so nice, like a deity, with the finest cloth. And then he'd tell the merchant that, yes, I like this cloth, but I don't have any money. He said, oh, that's all right, you can just take it. If you ever get money, you can pay me. If not, you can keep it. Like that, he'd go to the different shopkeepers. He'd go to the milkman and say, I would like to have your best sweets. And he would offer him his best sweets, but I don't have any money. That's all right, you can just take. He'd go to the conch dealer and the spice merchants and the oil merchants. I'd like to sample your best oils. I don't have any money. So, well, that's right, just take them. And then he went to the diviner, who had a reputation for being able to understand who a person was. There are actually two diviners who could understand who a person was in their previous life. This diviner, the Lord asked, I would like to understand who I was in my previous birth. And the diviner chanted his Gopal mantra and went into meditation. And he saw the forearm form of Narayan in a prison cell of Kamsa. And that form of Narayan transformed into the baby Krishna. And then Krishna began expanding in the form of Matsya, in Kurma, in Varaha, in Nishinga, in Parashuram, in Lord Ramachandra, in Budi, in Buddha, and Kalki, and Lord Jagannath. And the diviner is becoming overwhelmed. What am I seeing? And he opened his eyes and saw Nimai standing there puzzled. What are you seeing? Tell me who I was in my previous life. And the diviner closed his eyes, chanted his Gopal mantra, continued having visions, opened his eyes and saw only Nimai before him. And he might ask, well, who was I in my previous life? Tell me. He said, give me more time to meditate. Come back in this afternoon and I will tell you. There was another diviner, similar introduction, and Nimai asked him who he was in his previous birth. And the diviner went into meditation, saw all the divine opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and said, in my meditation, I saw that you were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Nimai said, no. In my previous birth, I was a cowherd boy. And due to that great service of caring for cows, in this life I've become a Brahmin. So when Nimai resumed his studies, he became a great pundit. And he would challenge and defeat anyone and everyone. And this gave great pleasure to Mother Sachi. So one day, Mother Sachi asked Nimai, what books did you study today? And what did you discuss? And he began explaining that it's all nonsense to consider that there's any truth other than Krishna. And the Lord began speaking to Mother Sachi as Kapila formerly taught Devahuti. And he explained that forgetting Krishna, we have to take birth again and again in the womb of some mother and suffer terribly, as if in a prison of fire. And if the soul is fortunate, then around 7 months of age, that soul in the womb begins to pray to Krishna that, betraying your mercy, I have to suffer in this way. But I am praying now that you arrange a birth that I will be in the association of those who congregate to hear your glories, which is the only eternal truth. And Nimai, in the mood of Kapila, was preaching to Mother Sachi, who was in the mood of Devahuti, to keep Krishna always in your heart, and then you never have to take birth again. Whereas if you have any other goal, you'll be forced into the womb of one mother after another. So he told Mother Sachi, there is no truth other than Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Keep that attachment always in your heart, and always remember Krishna by chanting his holy names.
As the obedient servant of Barsana Maharaj's outline, I will try to continue. Nimai met with Ishwarapuri in Navadvip Dham. Ishwarapuri was staying at the house of Gopinathacharya. Gadadhar Pandit was coming to him every day. Nimai met him on the bank of the Ganga and took him home with him and fed him prasad. In fact, Ishwarapuri, hearing the reputation of Nimai Pandit, the greatest scholar in all directions, asked him to help to edit his book that he was writing. But Nimai said, how can I change a single word that you have written? You are a pure devotee of Krishna. Everything you speak, everything you write is out of pure love and devotion. There could be no inaccuracies. Even if a person sees a material flaw in an act of pure devotion, that person will have to suffer hellish consequences for that offense. I cannot correct what is perfect. But Ishwarapuri insisted, please, I want to make my book presentable to people who will consider its scholarship. But Ishwarapuri was very happy in his heart that Nimai had such great esteem for pure devotional service. So one day Nimai made us one word, he said, is not the best word. The next day, Ishwarapuri said, actually, I thought about your correction, but the word I used is the best word. And then something historical took place. Nimai Pandit, who was defeating everyone in argument, his capacity to argue and debate on the basis of scripture logic on any subject, as he would go to the biggest scholars and say, defeat my logic. And then he would make a preposition. He would lodge an argument. And they said, it's impossible. No one can defeat that argument. You have covered every point perfectly. And then Nimai would systematically defeat everything he said. And he would tell them, now defeat what I just said. They said, it cannot be defeated. It's perfect. And then he would defeat what he just said and reestablish the first principle that he said. That was his power. And everyone just looked at him. He was like Brihaspati. Infallible mind. But when Ishwarapuri, a pure devotee, corrected him, Nimai remained silent and accepted defeat. Sometime after this, Nimai went to Gaya in order to perform the Shraddha for his departed father and forefathers. And while he was there, at the footprints of Gadadhar, he heard the Brahmins chanting the glories of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And there were flower garlands by the hundreds, and sandalwood, and fragrances, and all sorts of objects of worship. Lord Chaitanya, for the first time, exhibited before everyone's eyes the ecstatic prema of his heart. And at that very moment, Ishwarapuri appeared. And Lord Chaitanya said that I have come to Gaya on this pilgrimage to offer oblations for the welfare of my forefathers, but just by seeing a pure devotee like you, millions and millions of generations will become purified. Nimai begged Ishwarapuri for initiation. Ishwarapuri, he said to Nimai, ever since I saw you in Navadvip, your form is always within my heart. And whenever I remember you, I get the same experience of ecstasy as when I remember Krishna. Ishwarapuri understood that Nimai is the Supreme Lord. He said, you are asking me for initiation. I will give you my entire life. But if this is your Leela, I will initiate you. Lord Chaitanya, in order to show the world the importance of accepting a spiritual master, and in order to show the world the duties of a disciple to a spiritual master, by his own example, he accepted Ishwarapuri. After the initiation ceremony, Lord Chaitanya rendered menial services to his guru. He cooked for him. He served him with his own hands. He did all menial things for his guru. However great you may be, even if you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which you're not, still, menial service to a Vaishnava is the greatest benediction in all of the world. Even the Lord of the universe is seeking the opportunity to render menial services to a Vaishnava. What is our position? How blessed we are when we have such an opportunity. How enthusiastic we should be to give up all false pride and want to be the menial servant. A great devotee never wants to be the master of anything. A great devotee only wants to be a humble servant. That is the quality of greatness in the eyes of God. Sometimes in the matter of service, you may have to take the position of master. But it's never our mentality. We never think, I am master. Srila Prabhupada taught us that he felt that all of his disciples were the representatives of his Guru Maharaj, that he was serving, but serving by taking the role of master. A devotee never wants to be a controller. The more menial and simple and humble our service is, the more devotee is satisfied. That is the symptom of a pure heart. We don't need position. We don't need facilities. All we need is that enthusiastic inclination to serve, and we'll be forever happy because no one can ever take that away from anyone. They can take away the externals, but they cannot take that service attitude from our heart. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that by being the menial, humble servant of his devotee. And later on, we find Lord Chaitanya explains that Ishwarapuri chastised him and said, "You are a fool. Don't even bother studying Vedanta. Just chant Harinam. You'll never understand Vedanta, but everything will be revealed to you if you sincerely chant the holy name." Much louder. And Ishwarapuri gave Lord Chaitanya an instruction. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranyata. Very important verse you must always remember. There's no other way except the chanting of Lord Hari. Now, my son, go out and spread the glories of Nam Sankirtan throughout the world. Lord Chaitanya did not begin the Nam Sankirtan movement till he received the order of his spiritual master. He was so ecstatic after taking initiation. His love of God, the love of Srimati Radharani, awakened in his heart. In the middle of the night, he just left his students and everything and went running through the forest to Vrindavan. But the demigods, they spoke in an invisible voice and said, "Nimai, O Vishwambar, later you should go to Vrindavan. But your mission of descending on this earth was to establish Nam Sankirtan in Navadvip and inundate the world with Krishna Prem through Krishna Nam. That is your mission. We are your humble servants. And it is our service to remind you of your mission. Go to Navadvip. Later you will go to Vrindavan." So he went to Navadvip. And there he began the congregational chanting of the holy names. And the devotees were ecstatic. They prayed from their heart of hearts, "Please, Lord Krishna, make Nimai a devotee. He's so attractive. We can't give up his association. If he chants Krishna's names, we will never leave him. And he is so attractive that if he becomes a devotee, he will make the whole world dance to the Nam Kirtan." So Nimai was absorbed in such ecstatic feelings of separation, the separation of Srimati Radharani for Krishna when he left for Mathura. That was his mood. He was crying, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" He told Gadadhar Pandit that, "You are so fortunate. You have been a devotee for Krishna since your birth. But me, I have wasted my life up till now in pursuit of mundane studies. But then, by inconceivable mercy, I saw Krishna. Krishna came to me, but due to my previous impious deeds, Krishna disappeared. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" Expressing the deepest, most profound symptoms of humility, he was crying out for Krishna. One day, he heard the recitation of the names of the Lord. And therein, the name Shukara, Varaha, entered his ears and his heart. He went into such an ecstatic trance. He was crying out, "Shukara, Shukara, Shukara," and ran right to the house of Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta saw the Lord and was very surprised to see his mood. And then the Lord manifested his form as Lord Varahadev. Magnificent form of a boar, with beautiful tusks and hooves and beautiful hairs covering his body. Now, everyone knows that pigs and boars are not considered very beautiful in this world. What would you think if someone said to you, "You have the beauty and the charm of a pig"? Would you be flattered if they said of a peacock, or a swan, or a voice like a cuckoo bird, or the strength of a lion? But what? How can you praise a person on any level as a pig? Can you think of anything? You sing like a pig? You look like a pig? You smell like a pig. You walk like a pig. You eat like a pig. Any equation, it's an insult if the word pig is connected. Yes? You have raised your family like a nice pig. You dress, oh, so nicely. You dress just like a pig. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes the form of Varahadev, a boar, it's all attractive. People were falling in consciousness and ecstasy to see his beauty. The great sages and the saints were praising his beauty. Beautiful lotus-like eyes as a boar. And he appeared in this magnificent Varaha Rupa to Murari. And seeing in the temple room of Murari, there was a little water pot that Murari Gupta used for puja. He said, "Give me that water pot." And he gave that water pot, and he made that water pot represent the earth and held it within his tusks. And then told Murari Gupta to offer him prayers. And Murari Gupta stood and said, "You are the supreme absolute truth. You are the knower of everything. I don't know anything about you. Only you know yourself. Even the Vedas, even Brahma, Shiva, even Ananta Shesha with his thousand mouths cannot properly glorify you. The only person who has the proper knowledge to glorify you is you yourself. What can I say?" And Varahadev said, "Just say what is in your heart. Speak." Murari Gupta offered beautiful prayers, glorifying the transcendental form of the Lord. And then as Lord Varahadev, with a very sweet but thunderous voice, Varahadev spoke to Murari. He said, "Some of the Vedas and the Upanishads, they disregard my eternal transcendental form and only speak of me not having material form or limbs. And there is a sannyasi named Prakashananda who is living in Varanasi. And by his preaching, he is saying that the absolute truth has no eyes, no nose, no mouth, no limbs, no legs, nothing, no form. And by doing this, he is taking swords and chopping my limbs. And therefore, I have put leprosy in his limbs, but he does not know it. But this form of mine is the transcendental, eternal form, which is the source of everything that exists. It is from my eternal form that all material universes manifest. It is from my eternal form that the impersonal Brahman manifests. To love and serve my form is the ultimate perfection of life. And those who love my form, those who render devotional service to my transcendental form, become so dear to me that I am subordinate to their love. And I will always protect them. And if anyone offends my devotees, then I must punish that person. And I will tell you, Murari Gupta, an example. Even if my own son offends devotees, I must punish him. When I was in this form of Lord Varahadev, I lifted Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, and by her wish, I impregnated her by my touch. She gave birth to a son named Boma. And he was well trained. He was humble and gentle, learned in the scriptures. He was charitable to the poor, obedient to the Brahmins, very caring toward all living beings and spreading religious principles. But due to association with Bana, the Asura, his heart became corrupt. He became full of greed, ego, selfishness. And when one has that ego, one commits offenses to others. Such a graphic story. This is the power of association. Even if you are the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all good qualities, if you intimately mix with evil people, you become evil. And even if you are an evil person, if you mix intimately with pure-hearted devotees, you become a pure-hearted devotee. Most important principle in our spiritual lives is the association that we choose to keep, because that will determine our consciousness. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, if you put iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire, and if you don't think it's fire, you touch it. You will be burnt with the same severity as putting your finger in the fire. put that iron rod in ice and it will become as cold as ice. This is a material law. It is also a spiritual law that what we associate with, we take on those qualities. It may be in such a subtle, unconscious way, but it's happening. We're being affected by our association. So Varahadev spoke to Murari Gupta that Bhomasura became an offender to the devotees and a cruel person, egoistic to the world at large. And therefore, even in my form of Krishna, I severed his head with my chakra just to show the world, even if my own son offends those who loves me, I must punish him. Hare Krishna. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his beautiful, beautiful form of Varahadev manifested once again into the beautiful swarup of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Murari Gupta, in tears of ecstasy, offered repeated obeisances and glorified the Lord by chanting the holy name. Now, as Lord Chaitanya was manifesting his form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Srinavadvip Dham and melting the hearts of his devotees, Sri Advaitacharya, that personality who called the Lord to appear, manifested his extraordinary, inconceivable relationship with the Lord, which is now going to be narrated by His Holiness Barsana Swami Maharaj.